Hello, and welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. My name is Ash, and I am your host, and it's been a little bit since you've heard from me. As you know, if you follow me on Instagram, and if you don't, you should, I'm at Fat Lip Podcast on there. But if you do follow me, you know that I got married on New Year's Eve, which is so exciting, and I'm so happy. My husband, man, that's so weird to say. My husband, Travis, is Canadian, and he still lives in Toronto, and I live about as close to the border as you can get, so we get to see each other pretty often. But it's not ideal. It's doable, but not ideal. But he had the first 2 weeks of January off work. He went back on the 16th, so we were just here, holed up in my apartment, playing video games, watching Netflix throughout the holidays and the first half of the month, and it was the best honeymoon I could have asked for, and I'm very glad that I got to do it. So you haven't heard from me, so I'm back. And things are wonderful. You didn't ask, but they are. Winter, on the other hand, is terrible and makes me so insanely anxious, and I hate it. I'm absolutely terrified of ice because I'm afraid of falling and not being able to get back up. It's so bad that I can't even enjoy fall because I spend September in a constant state of worrying about how I'm going to get around when the snow starts to fall. So this year I decided to try to be a little proactive so that I could set myself up to be as safe as possible and therefore try to manage my anxiety about winter a little better. So I did a bunch of research and I came up with a set of resources for safe walking and really existing in winter weather. And I was sharing bits and pieces of that information on my personal Facebook for my fat friends. And it really started to make sense to put all of that information together into a blog post so that others could use it as well. So if you haven't seen that post and you are in a winter weather climate, or if you've had some freak ice storms lately because global warming is real and happening, you can check that out on thefatlip.com under the blog heading. Okay, so I have a few things to talk about today. First of all, I feel like as much as I hate talking about Donald Trump on this show, this is an important thing to touch on. You all know how much I hate that guy. I think he is truly deplorable in every single way. However, this girther thing, what are we doing? I've said this before, but Trump's body is not the problem. I've addressed this topic a couple of times on this podcast, and the amazing Shane Brody, who was on the show in our first year, protested it with his naked body. But this keeps coming up, and every time it does, I'm going to say something about it because it continues to be all the way fucked up. Okay, let me step back in case you aren't clear what I'm talking about. Last week, Trump's official physical and cognitive evaluation results were released, and the report said, among other things, that Trump is 6'3" and 239 pounds. This, of course, ignited a Twitter firestorm of armchair fitness professionals insisting that these numbers couldn't possibly be true. They cited the BMI chart. They compared Trump to other celebrities of similar height and weight. Some even went further and went straight to fat name calling. And look, we know that Donald Trump is a liar. And I know that with the absolute insanity of the last year, we're all a little bewildered and at the end of our ropes. But again, his body is not the problem. There are literally hundreds of reasons to criticize this guy. He's racist and he's sexist and he's predatory. Let's use our energy to call out those things. Those are the criticisms that actually matter. Because talking about Trump's body in this way is much harder on the regular people who have bodies like his than it is on Trump himself. And furthermore, and this may be an unpopular opinion, but I honestly don't think we're entitled to Trump's medical report. I understand that this is the most important job in the world, but I think insisting that hired for jobs because people think we're lazy or whatever, just unpleasant to look at in some cases. having an angry constituency insisting that we have a right to know what the president's real weight is a little too close for me to the terrifying thought that an employer could one day insist that he has a right to know my weight. It's just a precedent that I'd rather not ever set. And I totally get that it's a complex question because we're also talking about the cognitive health of a man who has sole discretion in launching nuclear weapons. And I also know that we have a mechanism in the form of the 25th Amendment that allows the vice president and senior officers to remove the president from office if he is unable to perform his duties. But I am of the firm belief that our physical and mental health is a private matter, and we do not owe this information to the public at large. And that means that I don't believe that Donald Trump owes that to us either. And anyway, I think we should be focused on, you know, not allowing any single person to launch weapons that will kill millions without literally any oversight. Let's overhaul the job, not infringe upon the rights of the person who holds the job. Even if he really fucking sucks, which he really fucking does. So yeah, I think this Gerther thing is awful and potentially harmful to regular fat people, so we should stop doing it. Okay, second topic. Last week, CVS, a huge nationwide retailer, announced that it will no longer allow for airbrushing on the packaging or marketing materials for its in-house cosmetic brand, which is a lovely sentiment, and they've gotten tons of support from the body positive community for it. And as a cosmetics purchasing human, I do appreciate a more honest depiction of a product's abilities. However, surprise, surprise, I have a gripe about this also. I just think that this is such small potatoes, and it's only really a net positive for thin white women. Because, yes, airbrushing out wrinkles and blemishes and fine lines is annoying, and it doesn't represent models as they are, real people with real skin that wrinkles and breaks out. I do think that it's a nice small gesture. But what CVS could do better is commit to using more women of color in their marketing, or more trans women, or more fat women, or maybe a disabled woman now and again. That's the representation that is sorely lacking. And maybe thin white women are really fretting over only seeing ladies who look like them except with perfect skin. Maybe that is something that is really bothering them. But a dark-skinned black woman rarely, if ever, sees someone who looks like her in these ads at all. And I've literally never seen an actual fat woman used in a makeup ad. These tiny little changes that huge companies throw out in the name of body positivity are only really thin, white, cis body positive. And it's not enough. And we have to keep demanding more. And that's all I'm saying. So before we get to my last topic for today, we should hear from our sponsor. I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but one of my goals for 2018 is to practice some self-care. To do that, I am forcing myself to finally adopt a skincare routine befitting a grown woman in her mid-30s. And I'm also forcing myself to adopt a regular sleep schedule. And it has not been easy. But I found a routine that works for me, and it starts with me leaving my phone in the bathroom so I don't keep picking it up when I'm supposed to be sleeping. And it ends with me climbing into my cozy Big Fig bed. Big Fig is the first mattress system to ever be designed and manufactured specifically for larger bodies. It has a hybrid construction of sturdy coils and supportive memory foam, including a thermogel top layer, so I feel fully supported all night with no overheating. Big Fig also has specially constructed sidewalls to keep them from collapsing when I sit on the edge, and the mattress sits on a foundation that supports 5 times the weight of a regular box spring. Plus, I opted for the Big Fig bed frame too, which is made of recycled railroad steel, and it doesn't even budge under me. The Big Fig is truly the most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on, and I think you'll love it too. Go to bigfigmattress.com to learn more about this bed and use the code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase, because you should make 2018 the year of restful sleep, and you should do that with Big Fig. Okay, so my last topic for today is actually another podcast, a mainstream one. Now, as you may or may not know, you probably know, I am a huge podcast nerd. I listen to dozens of shows regularly. I'm that annoying friend who in nearly every conversation will butt in with, I actually listen to a podcast about this, and who's always trying to get people to listen to some show I'm currently obsessed with. And a year and a half ago, that show for me was Science Versus. So Science Versus is a science show, obviously, that started in New Zealand and had a season there before Gimlet Media, a big podcast company, picked it up and brought it to the US. And the premise of the show is that they take big topics that most people have an opinion on and explore them from a scientific standpoint. So, like, there's a Science Versus GMOs, where they talk about trends in public opinion about GMOs versus the real scientific study of GMOs' effects. The show is in its third season with Gimlet now. So there have been tons of these, and I've always really liked them. They've always been pretty balanced and approached these topics from a purely scientific perspective. So, like I said, I was a fan from the first episode. So after the first season, it kind of dawned on me that obesity would be a super interesting topic for a treatment like this. My thought was that the show could explore the concept of obesity, the flaws in the BMI, the fact that obesity equaling diabetes or heart disease is a correlative relationship, not a causative one. And I knew, of course, that they were committed to balance, so there would be less fat positive points to make as well. But I thought it would be a thoughtful, interesting discussion. So I actually tweeted at the show saying that I'd love to hear a Science Versus Obesity. And at the time, they liked the comment and retweeted it, and I was excited because it seemed like maybe they were into it. But then nothing happened, and that was fine. I mean, this is a nationwide show. And again, this was at the end of the first season, so I kind of had given up on it. So at the end of last year, they were at the end of their third season, and I was listening through episodes, and I happened to look at my podcast app and see that there was a new episode, Science Versus Obesity. So I was super excited, and I immediately like settled into the couch to listen. And it wasn't what I had hoped. Instead of talking about the concept of obesity and all the ways that it's really a social construct and that everything we know about obesity as a culture isn't necessarily based in scientific fact, the show decided to kind of stand on top of that flawed concept and talk about why we're fat instead. And I think now in hindsight, I should have expected this because fat phobia and diet culture is so woven into the fabric of our society that normcore mainstream people probably wouldn't even think to question the concept of obesity or to question whether or not being fat is as harmful as the weight loss industry would like us to believe. So instead, the show takes all of that as a given and decides instead to talk about whether we're genetically predisposed to be fat and about how our microbiome affects our appetite. And these are definitely still super interesting things to explore, and I'm glad that they did, but it's just not the direction that I had in my mind. It's not exactly what I wanted to hear. So what I'd like to know really is whether or not in researching this show, the producers discovered any of the science that we as fat activists know about the fact that the BMI is an oversimplified equation developed by a statistician, not a doctor, and that it was not meant to be used for actual medical diagnosis. I wonder if they read about the so-called obesity-related illnesses like high blood pressure and diabetes and the difference there in correlation versus causation. Like, I wonder if they just missed this stuff. Like, I don't know. I guess many, many people miss it, but it's just so strange to me that a producer that is doing a deep dive like this into the science would not find that information. But anyway. But there was one point that they made that made me feel like this was all not an accident, that the exclusion of those things was not an accident. They were talking about exercise, and they discovered that studies have shown that exercise is not that effective for weight loss, which we know. They said it is important to our overall health, but even regular exercise over time doesn't result in sustained weight loss. And when I heard this, the hairs on the back of my neck started to stand up because I started to get this little glimmer of hope that like they were getting it and they were going to the next thing. And So I was like, oh, next they're going to talk about how studies have also shown that diet isn't effective for long-term weight loss. And then I thought they'd talk about how we have no statistical evidence that significant weight loss by any method is sustainable over time. So I was really excited, but they didn't go there. And I feel very doubtful that they did this deep dive and found that exercise does not equal weight loss, but that they didn't find that diet also doesn't equal weight loss, right? It just seems strange that they could find half of this equation, but not the whole, right? So I don't know. I wanted more, and I'm still waiting for a mainstream podcast to turn the social concept of obesity on its head. The day that that happens, I might actually turn a cartwheel. I gotta work on my cartwheels. Until then, though, I'll just keep grumbling into this microphone. And this show will go on. So I guess they're keeping me in business, at least. Anyway, thank you so much to Starcrusher for providing the music in today's show. Hear more from him at cstarcrusher.bandcamp.com. I actually saw on Facebook recently that he is working on a new album, so I can't wait to hear that. And thank you to our Patreon patrons. The patron of the week is Tiffany. Actually, there are two Tiffanys, and they are both Tiffany T's. I will just shout out both of you. Bonus shout outs this week. And if you are also a Tiffany and would like to become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. And hey, we take non-Tiffanys as well, so come on by. Don't forget to follow on social media, especially on Instagram. Again, I'm at Fatlip Podcast there. You can find links to all of the show's other social media by going to thefatlip.com and using the links at the top of your page. Also, if you're listening on iTunes and have a few minutes to give us a review, I'd really appreciate it. Actually, I think it's called Apple Podcasts now. I always get that wrong. Anyway, the more reviews we have on there, the better we perform in search results and the more ears we will have listening to this show. Okay, I will be back again next week with another episode. So until then, stay warm out there, wear your ice cleats if you're in a snowy climate, send springy thoughts so we get through this garbage as quickly as possible, and I will see you again next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.